Is there anything I cannot do? Is there anything I cannot do? Think about it. The absolute philosopher in each one of us reveals to us that whatever we put our heart and soul to, whatever we think about, whatever we dream for ourselves, we can do, and we do it. Now, we don't go around telling the world what we're doing. We don't go around telling the world what our dreams are, what our desires are. We just do whatever our heart tells us to do. We just do whatever our excitement about life tells us what to do. We do what makes us happy, what makes us feel so fulfilled, so glorious, so grand. And as we do this, magical things happen in our life. It takes place every day in every wonderful way. We think that some things are beyond us, some things are beyond our ability. But think of that great poet, that great author, John Milton. Oh, he lived in the 1600s, and he was a grand and a glorious fellow. And he had a lot of experiences, and he was very active and very vital in the government, and he was active in politics and active in writing. And as a poet, he was outstanding. His greatest poetry, Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained, were done in the latter years of his life. They were done as he was getting ready to step off this mortal coil. And what happened to him just as he was about to do these things? He went blind. He no longer could see. And yet, he had this magic in him that had to come out. Some of the world's most beautiful poetry. And it had to come out. And he had three daughters. And he said to his three daughters, "Will you please write what I tell you to write?" And they were familiar with doing it for him from other things that he had done, but they were diligent and dedicated, and they were happy to do this for their dad. And as they wrote for him, they wrote, and he dictated, and he told them the story of Paradise Lost. Very demanding, very comprehensive, very wonderful. But he told them this story. And as he told them this story, the story was a bit of a loser. Paradise Lost. It was kind of a sad thing, but yet it told a story about what he had in his mind. It had the story of what was going on in his world. He told about how life continued, and how the value of it was so beautiful and so perfect. Nothing stopped him from writing this magnificent tome on Paradise Lost. And as he finished this, a glimmer came into his mind. Here he was, sunk into the depths of blindness, unable to see physically anything, and he had to look within his inner heart, within his inner self. He was his absolute philosopher, revealing itself to himself in a wonderful way. And then, as all things seemed to be so lost, he found it again, and he called it Paradise Regained. And he wrote an uplifting, beautiful, dramatic piece of poetry that told the story of his philosophy. We think we have problems sometimes. We think we have limitations that keep us from accomplishing the goals of our life. And truly, we don't. Great writers, great poets, great painters, great beings, oftentimes are so dedicated to their work, to their calling, that they don't think about raising money. They don't think about having an income. They don't think of doing those necessary things. They live in a rather poverty way. It doesn't have to be that way, but that's what they choose to do. And even in that attitude, they write beautifully things. They write beautifully the poetry that's in their heart, the poetry that's in their mind, the poetry that talks to them. You and I can write the poetry that talks to us too. We are the absolute philosopher. John Milton was blind when he was writing these two great tomes. And he had his daughters take down verbatim what he said. He had no way of correcting his information. He had no way of making sure that it was always done correctly. He had no way of being assured except to have them read back to him what he wrote and what they copied. You can call that a tedious and a demanding work. But when the daughters who dearly loved their father, and the father whose mind was ripe and rich with magic and thinking, it was not a task that was overwhelming, but just an ordinary workaday activity. The work of an absolute philosopher, revealing himself in his way, revealing himself in the magic that he is. I remember my father-in-law. He was a rather outstanding man. He was in real estate and he conducted his business and did many wonderful things. But he went blind. The doctors told him he smoked too much, and he believed that, and he went blind. So what did he do? He took his wire recorder and he recorded all the conversations he had with people on business. And he learned to touch type so beautifully, so definitely, that he made very few, if any, mistakes on the typewriter. He was a fantastic businessman, devoted to doing his work. He allowed his memory to be sharp as a wit. He allowed himself to be on top of everything. And in doing that, he was able to be a successful businessman and take care of his family and put his sons through college and put his daughters through college and do all the things that he wanted to do. And yet, he was limited. And yet, he was not limited. Because he chose to see beyond his blindness. He chose to see beyond it, and he used the telephone, he used his wire recorder, he used his typewriter, he used his knowledge, and he used all of the genius of his wife to help him to accomplish these things. Milton had his three daughters help him, and Ted Wangerman had his wife help him. How wonderful it is in life when we create people that we love, who work with us on areas where we find it very challenging and very difficult to do. But they're with us, and they're there to join us. An absolute philosopher finds no difficulty in this whatsoever. He just opens his mind and his heart and says, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm dreaming. This is what I'm doing. And he writes beautiful things. He writes marvelous things. Ted Wangerman wrote beautiful things too. He had a mind that was glorious and ripe and open, and he was a fantastic man to his family. Oh, there were times when he was down, but he was up more than he was down because he took charge. Milton, I'm sure, was down and up, but he took charge. And he continued being a verbose, fantastic literary man all of his life. and nothing stopped him. Nothing held him back from being the greatness that he was. You and I are absolute philosophers too. And nothing need hold us back from accomplishing whatever we have in our consciousness. Whatever life gives us, we make out of it the joy, the magic, the fulfillment of who we are. And we are great indeed. We are great indeed, because that's the magic that we are. Today, let that magic settle in your life and say to you, you are wonderful. You are the absolute philosopher now. Now and always. Have a wonderful day, and know that I love you.